Now we are rolling.
We're rolling.
I'll do a thing.
Everybody's
where
live. Fuck it.
Clap
Fuck it.
To get the sound synced up.
Please clap. Well, I guess we'll just start. This is another. I guess primetime movies, but this one we didn't actually watch on Prime, even though most of the terrible movies we find are on Prime. Where do we find this? It was like some weird archive.
So
all of the movies that we needed to find all in one place. We watched Double Down by famous director Neil Breen. And by famous director, I also mean famous producer, famous writer, and famous star of all of his own movies, Neil Breen.
He's a legend.
Well, I wish he was a little bit more widespread. I feel like he would be like Tommy Wiseau levels of famous at this point. If he was just, you know, I think part of it is that he's not very active on social media, but also, you know, he controls the distribution of all of his movies. So unless you're going to go to Breen directly or find some, like, I don't know if it was the dark web that we were on last night where we found the archive of all of his movies.
That's
but
archive.org. That's like a public website.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I've never.
Initially, like, we had watched the Breen movies because I think Chris or you have them all, right? Or Chris has them all. Somebody has them all on
Chris
DVD.
Has them all.
Okay.
No, so Chris, I think Chris knew about it first. And then, like, it was shortly before Christmas a few years ago. And then at that Christmas, my sister was like, I got you this movie on DVD from this guy, Neil Breen. And I was like, oh, we just talked about him. And I don't know if we had watched them yet, but man, they're usually a fun adventure, I guess. Some of them are better than others, but every single one is just something insane.
So Breen made this movie Double Down in 2005. It's his first movie of five. He's got a sixth in the works right now, right?
That is a sequel to another one of his movies, Twisted Pair.
Yeah, Twisted Pair is a good one. This one, not so good. I mean, we've been watching them kind of in like an inside-out reverse order over the past couple of years. And, I mean, to give an idea of what kind of themes these are in, it's interesting to look back on this this first movie, though. So we'll get to the plot in a minute. Although, Midge, do you want to see if you can give a rundown of the plot at all?
I legitimately cannot suss out what happened in this movie. Like, he was a secret agent with an electronics engineering degree who was a hacker, but then also found a magical rock that made him almost like Jesus-like. And then he was going to plant a dirty bomb in the Las Vegas Strip. But then he was working with all the intelligence agency and told on himself, and then was super proud that he stopped whatever terror plot that he plotted. And I'm not quite sure. And then there was a bunch of there at the end, there was like those four guys that were just standing outside saying things. And I wasn't sure who they were talking to or if they were even in the same spot. It was really weird. It looked like he had kidnapped some people and told them that you're not allowed to leave until you say these movie lines. The delivery really felt like they were actually being held against their own will to say these words out loud. It was very weird. I really can't understand what happened in the movie. Oh, and then he would randomly be passed out under his car that he parked in the desert. And then there was that one time where he turned completely invisible and killed somebody with his mind, I think.
I think he had a force field around himself.
He also always has five laptops and like four flip phones, and that's how he hacks everything. But like the laptops are never on in any scene, so I don't know what he's actually doing. And then he, like, the magic rock thing was crazy. I don't know. I honestly, and it may sound like all of that is just me saying random things, but that's basically how the movie went too. Like, it didn't really make much sense. He had a like random family dinner with this family. It was like, I've just cured your child of brain cancer. It's like, what? How? This magic rock that I have. I was like, and the parents like were like, oh, that's cool. Well, I guess we don't have to go to the doctors anymore. Like, what? It was so insane. I don't really know how to put it into words, other than pure insanity. It's just, it didn't make much sense. And then he subsisted solely on a diet of canned tuna
that he ate out of the trunk of his car.
Right. And then, like, in the beginning, he had this whole monologue, and I swear, it felt like it lasted for about 25 minutes, where it was just him narrating what was going on while he was clambering around on these rocks in the desert of Nevada. And he said that he's a secret agent, but a mercenary secret agent who is for hire for whoever will pay his money, you know, or pay his fees. But then he's like, I've made many millions of dollars, but I've donated all of them to children's organizations around the world. So it's like, so you start wars by hacking and like creating false narratives or whatever, right? And he starts wars, but it's okay because all the money he's made from doing that, he gives to children's like hospitals or orphanages or whatever. And I was like, doesn't make you a good person. Like, that's so wild. It's like, you know, these children are going to eventually grow up in these countries and you're going to start wars that end up killing them. Like, I'm not quite sure. Like, I don't know how he views himself in such a weird way in the movie. It just, I don't even know. I feel like I'm rambling, but like I've sat on the movie. We watched it last night. And it's been about what? Like 17 hours, 16 hours since we watched it. And I can't figure out what happened. I don't know. It's driving me crazy. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Breen movies will do that to you because like there's, so the movie opens up in a very like Manos, the Hands of Fate way where there's like driving, like a scene of just driving.
And don't forget all the B-roll.
Yes. There's lots of B-roll. Like Breen. So, like, if people who are listening don't know who Breen is, I think that the gist of it is that he is a man who creates independent movies in the Las Vegas area. This is his first one, starting in 2005, which looks like it was shot on, like, film stock. Everything else looks like it was shot on, like, I don't know, mini DV or whatever.
But also, I think he's also, like, a real estate agent in Las Vegas or something like that. So, I mean, I figure he makes a decent amount of money, so that's how he can fund his projects.
So this movie came out in 2005, and the themes of it are just like, if you can bore down on the plot, because there is no plot, it's just a theme with a guy in it. What I think, and this is something that is a through line within all of his movies, is that I think that because of the so, from what you just described...
I can understand why you have to keep stopping because like it literally none of it makes any sense.
No, it doesn't.
It's so weird.
From what you described though, he thinks of himself as this like renegade, like outside of the grid kind. Well, he's very much on the grid because he has two DirecTV satellite dishes that are hooked up to the trunk of his car.
That's how he hacks things.
Yes, he has laptops and flip phones. He constantly answers. You don't know if he's calling someone or answering a phone. There's no head of anything. Like he's just out there. You don't know who he's working for. He's just working for everybody. And he takes the money, like you said, Midge, and he takes this blood money. I'm assuming he's setting up terrorist attacks or whatever, and he sends it to poor children or whatever. I guess that's a way of... But is this character good or bad? Like, why...
I don't know. It's kind of both.
Yeah.
But here's a fun question I just thought of. Right. Can you give me the name of any character in the movie last night?
No.
I don't think there's any names for any of the characters, and I just realized that. I was like, there are people that are like the head of the CIA, the senator, the like, you know, some other characters, and like Neil himself or like the old man in the desert or his murdered wife. But like, I don't think there's actually any names of like the characters are never spoken in the movie.
Think of this too. Like, think of how infrequently people talk to each other. Like, you never see like there's no like dialogue between characters. And like the scene of the people at the table with the girl getting cured, that's the only scene where there's more than two characters on the screen at the same time. And he monologues to the screen a lot. Like, so I think what I'm trying to figure out here, based on what you had just described of the madness of this movie, is that this is like a Bush era, like, you know, war on terror. He thinks that he's like a secret agent type of guy. And it, like, you know, 2005, that's like the time where you'd be like, yeah, I'm kind of like, I think he thinks he's like a James Bond type of figure.
Oh, 100%. In this movie, yes, 100%.
But also like James Bond, but like with like messiah complex, like, and not even like, oh, he like really thinks that he's like a savior. Like, he, in his other movies, this one kind of, but not as like blatantly as other movies, like kind of portrays himself like Jesus.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, there was the whole thing in I Am Here Now, which is another Breen film, where he legitimately is like robot Jesus.
Yeah.
Where he just has like these like weird like computer parts like hanging out of the bottom of his sleeves.
Yeah. But like even like it's really, the tone of it makes no sense, because like he's a spy, but he's also like God. And it's just, he also, like you were saying with his dead girlfriend, all these movies also have a whole thing of a lost love. Like this movie kind of paves the way of, I mean, I don't know the man personally, but like the way that he tells the same story over and over again, I think that he has some sort of lost love that he's trying to like work out in these movies.
You're right, because it is always like every single one of his movies, and we're not to like do a whole Breenscape, that'll be a later podcast.
Oh, yeah.
But like it is true in all of his movies, he's like there's always some woman he's lost, right? Whether he regains them or not, you know, remains to be seen within the movie. And it's also like he's also always fighting against vague corruption it within the government, but like I'm not or you know, the government or the banking systems or anything like that, right?
Powers that be, I believe, like people who are powerful.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I guess that's,
and who would do him wrong.
Right. So it's like, but I don't quite like get, like, he does very much see himself as like some sort of messiah figure in all of his movies, but like his characters also just never really make any sense. It's like freshman year film school themes, and like so vague, but also at the same time just like so heavy-handed, like, yeah. I really don't even know how he manages to do it. It's kind of impressive. I know he's totally doing it by accident. It's no, like, you know, it's definitely not on purpose, but like it's always these like really bad acting, right? Like, so he's always the star. I don't think he's actually gotten better since 2005. It seems the skill level of acting seems about the same, but it's like even the other people in his movies, I don't think, like, they must just be like friends of his, or like he puts out a like random want ads on Craigslist or something, and like just gets like people who will work for free, because there is like no redeeming actor I've ever seen in any Neil Breen movie. It's been pretty brutal. But there, I will say, it's like last night's movie. It was very entertaining to watch, and the end was completely insane. I can't really put into words what happened, because there was so much going on at once, but also nothing at the same time.
Based on that, now that you made me think more about it, just describing him, you know who he is? And this movie kind of, he's kind of like, if you made like somebody who's always posting something online that's like political or like set, like, I don't know, like not sarcastic, but like snarky about like, you know, the powers that be or whatever, or like, oh, yeah, you know, like that is his, those are his movies, like not very well like articulated or thought out, just like a blurb of like, you know, this is what bugs me about the idea of like, I don't know. I'm not even sure what it is. It's just the idea of what the idea of corruption. There's no specific corruption in the movie. Now that I think about it, it's just that, you know, that these they're like, well, there's people and they're in charge. They're corrupt. And he's like, I am. He's like a he's killing people with some sort of like he picked up these people at the he was supposed to kill these people.
Oh, right. Okay.
Getting married.
Say.
Yeah,
I was just gonna say there's like two couples out there, so there were four people in that shot. So I think that's the most people that were in any shot in any movie. But again, so just to go on this scene, right? So apparently he was supposed to kidnap and kill some woman, right? I think that one of his marks was getting married at one of those like places in Vegas where it's like, oh, just come in, you're married, haha, whatever, right? So there's two couples standing outside. And he just randomly picks one up. But like the whole movie, he was talking about how good of a secret agent he is and how he's the best and he's elite. I was like, wouldn't you have any details about the person you're supposed to be picking up, not just randomly pick someone up outside? Like, what? And then he's like, oh no, what do you mean I have the wrong couple? So he dumps these people in the desert and goes and finds the other couple who have committed double suicide. And it's like, well, that certainly worked out for you, Neil, but I don't know what bearing that had on the plot.
You brought up something I didn't notice though, Midge, is that yes, he's supposed to be like the world's greatest spy, but yeah, he did manage to pick up the wrong people.
Yeah. Like, well, he's like, what do you mean I have the wrong woman? It's like, did they just tell him to like pick up a woman at this, you know, this chapel, right? And then he just picked up the first person he saw, like the first couple he saw, and like that was it. I also like when he was like pretending to be like some kind of driver. They didn't really specify a location he was getting to, but like he's like, oh, I'm totally a driver in this Rolls Royce. You know, this is special for this like instant wedding chapel. Would you like some champagne? I put an entire strawberry in your. glass of champagne. Also, I totally filled it with some ambiguous liquid, which I don't know what I don't really know what he did.
He's poisoning the people.
Well, yeah, I got that, but I was just
he
like,
doesn't want to tell you what it is.
And then, like, I couldn't tell if he was supposed to be the hero or the villain, or just it seemed like it was a bit of both, right?
Yeah. He's
excuse me.
He can't make up his mind as to whether or not he wants to be like an anti-hero and a hero at the same time, but like he's
right.
Too evil of a hero and not
and
much
a hero.
Yeah, and he's not much like he doesn't do anything heroic in this. I think at the end, I mean, we've spoiled the whole movie for you anyway. I think at the end though, he like disrupts some sort of like plot to attack Las Vegas or something. Like he was setting up the plot,
but that was his plot.
Well, yeah.
So he's just like, oh, I got the intelligence agencies to finally work together. I'm like, was that your master plan the whole time? I don't understand like what you were going for.
He invented the Department of Homeland Security. That's what he did in this movie. He decided they weren't working well enough together, and he was like, I'm gonna be mean to all of you. And at the end, it's a classic Breen lineup of like people who are in charge of things, and they all like worst monologues ever into the camera about like, you know, I can't even remember what they said. It's hard to watch people who don't know what acting is.
Go to Code Red.
Oh yeah, they all said the same thing.
I know every single one. I guess every intelligence agency has a Code Red. I suppose
you'd think that these people who are in this movie, who know they're going to be acting, have actually seen people act before, and these people.
Doesn't seem like it. It doesn't seem like these people have ever seen acting before.
No,
like they must not be. They must live very sheltered lives where nobody has seen like a stage play or, you know, a movie. It feels like the extent of what they've seen is like middle school plays, and they're like, "That is top notch acting right there. This is the quality we're going for."
I think that after this discussion, I've kind of pieced together what happened. So I think I didn't realize that he was working with that one guy to like attack in Las Vegas for some reason.
Right.
But then he foils the plot because his dead girlfriend made him do it or something.
Did she? Because she had two lines. She had, forgive me, make time stand still. I think those were like that outside of the weird proposal scene where they were both like naked in a public pool for some reason. It didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, will you marry me? And they're like, yes. And then she was shot immediately.
Yeah. And then he lies in the pool face down. They're both nude at this point.
But that is the heavy handedness of this movie where and I forget who brought it up last night, but it's like, well, that's just, you know, you see her lying face down in the pool by herself. And then the next scene, he's next to her. And it's like, that's just him dying, being dead on the inside now that she's gone. I was like, you know what? That tracks with his like level of like, I guess symbolism he goes for in his movies, right?
Yeah.
God, those butts were clenched so tight.
Yeah. And he doesn't have to explain this to anyone in the movie because he's directing and writing it. So like he just goes out and like, I guess that's a disconnect when you have that type of like dynamic on a film set, especially with somebody who's like not a film. No, he doesn't know how to make films. Like he knows how to put things on screen, but like,
anybody could do that, but there's no like real like shot composition. There's no like a lot of the scenes just kind of are very messy. And it does, it reminds me of when I used to make movies when I was in like high school, where we would just, we'll just bring the camera out and we'll just shoot somewhere. Right. And, you know, we'll say the lines, whatever, but like, it never really has that film quality because you don't know how to actually like put a shot together, right? It's very amateurish, which, you know, he is an amateur. It's fine. And if he wants to pay for all his stuff, that's, you know, good for him. I know. I hope he keeps making movies because I am a huge fan.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just what a mess. What a mess of a movie. Like, I would 100% watch Fateful Findings and what was the other one? And Twisted Pair is very good. I'll be honest. I liked I Am Here Now.
Yeah.
I thought that one was really funny. But yeah, obviously, these aren't meant to be comedies. But, you know, here we are.
No, they're not.
No, they're meant to be taken seriously, which kind of makes me feel bad sometimes, but I'm like, but he keeps doing it. No one's telling him he's bad. And if they are, he's certainly not listening, so it doesn't matter. He's still going to do it.
He's not making any money off of them, so like they're giving him pleasure that he gets to get his word out there about, like, you know, everybody's
whatever it is he's railing against. But like, I, you know, it also brings me joy in my life that he is still out there making movies. It's going to be a sad day when he retires.
I agree. He brings a lot of energy to his movies. I mean, he does a lot of he does all of his own stunts, I guess, if you can even consider them. He does all the
I don't know
work.
What the I don't know if we had we didn't have any stunts, right? And obviously this was like his first movie because there weren't really any special effects, but you know, getting on later, we'll talk when we talk about some of his other movies. There are some pretty insane special effects, and I don't know if I've ever laughed harder than when we watched Twisted Pair, and he would do his like super jumps. Like, oh my god, it was so funny.
I know you were going to mention the jump because I could picture every time I think of that movie, that's all I picture is him doing the super jump. But we're gonna I mean, this movie is just like, this is just the first step in a series of his own vanity films, which I mean progressively get more bonkers as time goes along. So,
and I will be honest too, like, and I not that I would suggest this, but if you use the archive page to ever watch any of his movies, you can just watch them all right in a row. They will just autoplay one after another.
Yeah, you could.
And I don't know if I could ever do a Breen-a-thon.
I don't think so.
No.
They're all an hour and a half each, so they're nice, like, I mean, but they're not like a tight hour and a half. They're like a, feels like a four. It feels like Lord of the Rings. Forever.
I just remember we were watching it and you're like, there's still 58 minutes left in this movie. And I was like, I feel like we've been watching it for like an hour and a half already. How did this happen?
It never ends. Just doesn't end.
It's just, it, they just kind of drag at points. I mean, other times, I mean, it gets very entertaining, but like, I think it gets entertaining to me because I watch this and I'm like, you know, functioning human adults made this movie. Right?
Yeah.
Like, how are they not self-aware enough to know that this is terrible? Like, why would I want to, why would I release this out into the world? But I'm glad that, I'm glad he keeps doing that.
I'm glad other
people.
It
gives me something to talk about. You know?
Yeah. I'm glad other people saw the movies and still do his movies, though, because like you could easily like, "Oh, I'm not going to be in that guy's movies," but people still do. People see the movies because you're not going to go to a like be in a guy's movies and be like, "I'm not going to watch any of his movies before I'm in it." Like by now, if you're going to respond to like a casting call for a Breen movie, like you know what you're getting yourself into. So I appreciate
100%,
that there are people who at this point are still like game to do that kind of thing.
Yeah. Because, like, we need more of this in the world.
Yeah, we do.
The world would be a better place if a lot of people love each other. Tommy Wiseau, 2002, I think, when the movie came out.
It's close enough. Probably made in 2002.
But I'm going to be honest, it's just, you know, I know we got to wrap this up soon, but I kind of wish we knew the existence of Neil Breen when we were still in school. Man, could you imagine if we had watched this while we were at Seton Hall?
Oh, my God. I mean, like, it's entertaining now, all these years later, but, like, back then, like, there wasn't anything like this back then. Like, I think we went to school, like, in the time of, like, the mini-DV. Like, you know, people were making money or making movies with, like, mini-DVs because cameras and tapes and stuff got cheaper and, like, you can edit on, like, you know, digital editing. Like, things got easier to do. So a lot of people put out a lot of stuff. This, I mean, it looks like it's on film, but, like, it's also the quality of something that you would shoot on, like, a handycam.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
But I do, we needed that kind of stuff when we were in college. Like, we were making stuff similar to it, but not putting it out as, like, a major motion picture, but, like,
We were just having fun at school, like, you know, working on projects in, like, the TV studio or, you know, the little, like, in our film classes and stuff. And I will say, I stand by everything I did with my two buddies that I did at Seton Hall as being probably better than any Neil Breen movie ever.
I do not doubt that at all.
No, you shouldn't.
I've seen some of your stuff, so it is good.
It's okay.
I don't want to say compared to Breen because it's kind of an insult, but I mean, like,
well, no,
since
but like,
this
I
is
know,
a
like,
topic of conversation we're having, yeah, it is better compared to Breen.
Like, we did learn, like, basic shot composition and how to actually light a scene and, you know, how to actually work the camera so not every shot is totally blown out of proportion, but like... Minute.
You mean to say that there's lighting and not just like natural sunlight? Like there's lighting in movies?
Sometimes.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
Only sometimes.
Breen uses the sun to light all of his scenes.
Yeah. Yes, he does. That's not even like hyperbole. That is like 100% what he did.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Well, I think we're gonna wrap it here. We only had a short time to talk about it, but would you recommend this as a watch?
Compared to other Breen movies, no. There are better Breen movies, and we will get to those as time goes on. But
as a Breen movie,
it's not like if this was his only movie, I'd be like, I don't know. But like as a Breen movie,
I would
say
this.
Skip it.
I agree with our friend Chris. What our friend Chris said is like, I think they're all worth at least one watch. Some of them, you can rewatch them because they're ridiculous. But I think this is one where it's like, I watched it once. I'm happy we saw it. I don't think I would go back to watching it again.
Right.
Not even as like a gag watch. I think that would just be it for me. So, anybody who's listening, Breen at your own leisure, I guess. But, it is certainly a sight to watch.
Sure is.
Sure is. All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up here. This has been Primetime Movies with Ganley and Midge. I guess that's how we end it, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. Sounds good to me.
That's the end. Later. Sounds great. Bye.